Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Let me tell you a little bit about her. She is the president of Professional Strategy Incorporated. Pat has developed, presented, and facilitated workshops and speaking engagements for over 5,000 adults. She applies her expertise and experience in customer satisfaction, sales, and self-management skills for business, industry, and government. She is a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, and as I mentioned earlier, she's our friend, Pat Weber. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
It's good to have you with us. And again, and Pat, one of the things that a while back you sent me a list of things that you had asked the subscribers to your newsletter some questions,
mm-hmm.
and they responded with a variety of things, didn't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we got started talking about that a week or so ago, and we didn't even come close to getting finished. And I've asked Pat to come back and help us finish up the list. The things that we talked about last time you were here, Pat, were dealing with rejection.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually at the top of your list, and handling objections.
Right.
And we covered those very well last time. Now, folks, if you have any questions about dealing with rejections or handling objections, please give us a call. We'll stop and go back and talk about those again. Just call 888-822-8255. But otherwise, we're going to move on and talk about something that you had on your list, Pat, called product differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's not a term that you hear a lot. How did that term come up?
Well, one or two, maybe even three or more of people who responded to my request for what are your top three challenges in selling, in one way or another, said, how do I make my product or service stand out from everybody else who's everywhere else
mm-hmm.
selling the same thing? And, you know, that's a matter of competition. And I'm not sure that I have necessarily the answers. But interestingly enough, last night I was reading this magazine I subscribe to called Selling Power.
Mm-hmm.
And the final page was somebody who had sent in a sales story that was the sales story of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about product differentiation.
Mm.
And what the gentleman did was he was selling something to contractors, some service. But he could not even get his foot in the door with somebody in particular because their concern or objection always was, but we were already using this.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did was this is how it goes, Jim. He was talking about it with his wife one evening,
mm-hmm.
and she gave him the answer.
Imagine that. he went to the Oracle finally, right?
Right. And as he's telling it in the magazine, Selling Power, he says that she mentioned the word, how can they all be equal? And that word equal kept floating around in his mind, and he said, I have it. So he took his standard sales letter and taped or stapled a package of equals in the little blue package to his letter, and then
the sugar substitute. Yeah.
Then he took a little toy tractor or some kind of construction vehicle, put it in an equals box,
mm-hmm.
and he sent the letter with the box to the customer. And within a few days, maybe it was a week, the client called him and said he was just so impressed with his creativity that he had to meet with him. And, you know, when I was thinking about it, I've done some little crazy things like that.
Yeah.
I had a prospect once when I was in the computer industry who had the same kind of concern. Your software is just like everybody else's. We were on our way to an appointment together to visit a client that already had the software. One of the best ways of selling is to let your other customers do the
mm-hmm.
selling. And as he came in the car, he noticed there was a jewelry box sitting on his passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, oh, did your husband get you something? And I said, no, this is for you. And he opened it up, and there was no jewelry inside. It was a little, like a fortune cookie kind of note. You never know what's in it until you look. That's what the note said. And he said, "You are so creative."
Well, you know, that's those are great stories. The one thing you always have to be careful about, though, is you need to know the person, a little bit about the person you're sending this to, because sometimes it can backfire on you.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I certainly don't think you shouldn't do some of the things that Pat was just telling you to do. I think you ought to go for it. Here, one thing to realize, and this is kind of goes back to dealing with rejection, Pat, is if you don't have the person's business right now, and you try something and you say, okay, what if this backfires? What's the worst that could happen?
Right.
He can't take away business from you that he isn't doing with you.
Didn't give it to you to begin with.
That's right. So, you know, you might as well go for it if you don't have anything to lose. But you have to be careful. I have seen people do things that weren't good at stuff like that. You know, their humor comes across sarcastic.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. And so you want to be careful not to do that. And if anything, if you're trying to do something like that, make the joke on you. If you're trying to make a joke, make sure the joke's on you and not on them.
Right.
And but those are great ideas. The thing that I think about when I think of product differentiation is something that I say on the show quite often, and that is that virtually everything that you sell in the marketplace today, product or service, can be acquired virtually the same thing a block away for maybe less money.
Right.
And so the only way to assure yourself a product differentiation is the way you deliver that product.
Right. You personally, I think, Jim, you know, what you end up selling is yourself.
That's right.
You really don't sell a product or a service. You sell whatever you yourself give to the product or service, and so you end up making the difference.
And I want to talk about that just a little bit more when we come back, and that is not learning so much about the product. You need to know about that or service, but learning more about yourself, this delivery vessel that you're taking the product or service to the customer in. Stay with us, Pat. We're going to take a break, folks. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. All right, we're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Pat Weber is our special guest. She is an outstanding small business resource specializing in salesmanship and customer care issues. And Pat, tell us again the name of your company and how anyone could contact you if they would like.
Okay, it's Professional Strategies, and so to make it easy on the Internet, my website is prostrategies.com, and they can...
When they get there, what will they find?
Well, lots of free articles, a way to subscribe to a free bi-monthly newsletter with sales and service tips for both the people on the front line and managers.
The operative word being free, folks. Take advantage of it.
Free articles, free newsletter.
Prostrategies.com.
And then, you know, some information about my background to kind of lend credibility, like what gives me the right to do this.
Right. Okay.
Or they can email me at pweber with one B, like in the Weber grill, pweber@prostrategies.com.
Right. And you're still clipping your coupons from those Weber grills, right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Folks, we've been talking to Pat about some information that she received from her subscribers to her newsletter about some of the challenges they had in salesmanship with their sales force. And the thing we're talking about right now is something called product differentiation. And Beverly was on the last hour. Pat is on this hour. Pat is my other good friend. Pat, when we're talking about product differentiation, we had just said that that we were the difference.
Right.
That the person delivering the message, the person delivering the product or service, is the difference. Because if you sell a fax machine, if you sell a copier, if you're selling pest control, if you're selling whatever it might be, there's not a lot of difference in the actual thing that you deliver.
Right.
Anymore.
Right.
And almost no one has a corner on any market anymore. But you can corner the market in another way, and that is the way you deliver that service, because there is no one else like you.
Right.
And one of the things that I think, if you said to me, okay, Jim, here's a salesperson, they know a little bit about the product, and you've got 1 hour. would you like to spend that hour training them more about the product, or would you spend that hour training them to think a little bit about themselves and a little bit how to think about the customer or prospect? Which one would you choose? I would choose the latter.
The latter, right, exactly.
Because, you've said this in the past, Pat, is, mm-hmm. and that is that we need to know what the customer wants,
mm-hmm.
because all the product information, in fact, too much product information can actually get in the way, can it?
You know, it really can. I hadn't thought about that before, Jim, but that's right.
Well, what happens is that you get so wound up in all this product information and you believe in it so much,
mm-hmm.
you can't imagine that this prospect doesn't need what you have.
Yeah, that's true. That may be the cause of what is making people who are selling something not really pay attention, as you're saying, to the customer and really what they're saying that they want,
mm-hmm.
as much as what the product is and what the person selling wants to say about it.
Well, the thing that I've said when I do my sales training, Pat, is I tell companies to be careful about the product of the month. Because the product of the month is what they want to sell this month, but that might not be what the prospect wants to buy this month.
Right.
And they get their salespeople all worked up over the product of the month. They even pay them a little bit extra
to
sell the product of the month. And they, how many times are they going to walk out without a sale because the customer wanted something else?
Right. And this salesperson is really just trying to sell what will give them an extra little freebie gift or bonus in their pocket. I've seen that happen before.
So could we say that one of the best ways to conduct product differentiation, to achieve product differentiation, is to find out what the heck the customer wants first,
mm-hmm.
and then give it to them?
Right.
How old is that? I mean, that goes all the way back.
Probably
that goes all the way back.
You or I, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, that goes back to Ziegler. That goes back to Carnegie.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Exactly.
Find out what the customer wants and give it to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you don't have it, what do? Help them find it.
Right.
And when that happens, you become the problem solver.
Exactly.
And hopefully, you've differentiated yourself from everyone else.
I think you would.
Yep. All right, we've got to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about qualifying the prospect.
Okay.
When we come back, Pat, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255. Stay with us. All right, welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our good friend Pat Weber, President of Professional Strategies Incorporated. And Pat, give us your website and your phone number again, please.
Okay, the website is with the www.prostrategies.com.
Mm-hmm.
And my email address is pweber@prostrategies.com. And I do have a toll-free number that's hopefully something people can put in their mind with a little memory hook. It's 1-877-2-SPEAK-4-U. Those are the three easiest ways.
T-O, speak for you, or the number?
Two, the number.
The number two, speak for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And tell me, if someone... What would they hire you to do? What would someone hire you to do?
Improve the sales that they want to get in their organization by improving the performance of the people who do the sales.
Right.
Or possibly improve the customer satisfaction rate by really taking a look at how people are delivering service from the owner or manager to the person who answers the phone.
And if someone wanted to just call you and talk to you about what they needed,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't charge them just to have a short interview? And
no, because a lot of times, believe it or not, well, I'm sure you do believe this, Jim, but people will call me thinking they need my help in the way of going in and working with some mm-hmm. training programs or along those skill development lines.
Right.
And really what I find out is they might not need training. Mm-hmm. It might be something else that I could suggest.
Right.
So, yeah, talking is... Free.
Right. All right. Let's move on down and talk about lead generation. That's next on the list. And we're going to talk about qualifying the prospect in a minute. But before you have a prospect, you got to find them, don't you?
Yeah. And, you know, Jim, when I sent this survey out to my subscribers, that area, lead generation, was probably, I haven't totaled it lately because I'm still getting responses in, but it was the number one or two, it was the top one or two challenge, getting, finding new customers.
Right.
And one person said they get very little response to direct mailings.
Well, you know, if you get 4% response,
mm-hmm.
that's like a home run.
That's really
that's
high.
That's 4% out of 100.
Yeah, that's high.
That's and so even 1% is respectable.
Right.
Yeah. You know, as far as when it comes to prospecting, that's a very interesting and troublesome component of selling. And I have known, and I'm sure you have too, some of the best salespeople in the world. I mean, these people knew everything there was to know about their business and about how to get the business when they got in front of the customer, but they were the absolute worst prospectors in the world. For one reason, they didn't like prospecting.
Right. Well, even the word, as you're saying, is giving me chills.
Well, it isn't easy because we keep going back to the thing we talked about last time you were here, and that's dealing with rejection. Nobody
yeah.
likes to be rejected.
Sure.
And when you're talking to a prospect, you're more than likely you're breaking the ice and talking to them about something that you've never, you know, they probably never heard of you before.
Right. Do you still think that this area of selling is a numbers game?
I don't think there's any question about it.
Okay.
Now there are some businesses where the numbers are a lot higher than others.
Right.
And some businesses where they're a little smaller because you don't have that many prospects. I mean, some people sell things that everybody can't use.
Yes, that's right.
I mean,
right.
if you sell heavy earth moving equipment,
right.
then everybody can't be a prospect.
Right. You have a really limited market with
right.
that.
But I don't think there's any question about it being a numbers game. And, in fact, the arithmetic of selling is one of the most important things that you have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that, you know, it's the old saying about if you want to get your princess or your prince, you got to kiss a lot of toes.
Yes.
And I think about that all the time.
Yes.
Because, and that's the way you have to look at someone at a prospect is, you know, this person may be a toad, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but they may be a toad, or they may turn into the answer to your dreams.
That's right, exactly.
But prospecting, it can be, you have to, I think it's difficult, one of the most difficult things is to go from prospecting to selling all in the same day. And that's the reason
yeah.
a lot of people will take a day and just prospect.
Yeah, that's true, because that helps you get the momentum towards either one that you're
mm-hmm.
working on.
And if you're out in the field and you're selling and you have some time that you can prospect, mm-hmm. maybe instead of actually doing the face-to-face prospecting, maybe you just take the information down and write it down and you come back to them on the day that you are prospecting.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a good idea too.
Okay. Let's move on to qualifying. We've got a prospect, and this was another thing that your people said was difficult, one of the challenges that they had. And that now that we have the prospect, what do we do with them? We've got to qualify them.
Right.
And it's amazing to me how many salespeople don't even know what qualifying means.
Hmm. Well, maybe we better stop and take a look at what
Well,
that
means. I think we do need to. I mean, I think that this is an area that's actually – it's actually blown over too much. They go right from, I've got a prospect to, you know, will you do business with me?
Well, that's probably true because I've noticed one of the, even in my business, as much as I know about selling, I'm doing a lot of qualifying, but many people will spend a lot of time with somebody only to waste that time finding out either they didn't have the money or they weren't the right person.
Right.
Okay, we probably should talk about what
yeah,
that
let's,
is.
Yeah, let's focus on that. We're going to get Pat to help us understand a little bit better how to qualify your prospects.
Okay.
One of the most important steps, folks, in the selling process is 39 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Pat Weber. All right, we're back. It's 44 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking that out. And when you get there, click on the Brain Trust section. And then there's a list of names there. And one of them is Pat Weber, toward the bottom of the list because it's alphabetical. When you click on that name, that'll take you directly to the bio of the lady who's our special guest today and who is our good friend, Pat Weber, and the president of Professional Strategies Incorporated out of Williamsburg, Virginia. And you'll be able to find out more about Pat and what she might be able to do to help you. You can check, you can send her an email there. You can connect to her website. There are links there directly to that. And I know Pat will be glad to help you either with just a question. And Pat, I know you will do that. And also, if you think you might like to hire her, if there's something she can help you to do, I definitely recommend her. So, Pat, and that address is prostrategies.com, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about qualifying again. We've been talking about some of the challenges that salespeople face, and this was from a list of things that the subscribers to your newsletter had told you that they were up against, and qualifying was one of them. And you know, if you were asked to define qualifying, what would you say? Qualifying the prospect, folks.
That would be to match the client and the qualities that they have to be sure that that's a match for the product or service that you have.
Yep.
Everything from price to selection to time frame, you know, because some products, for example, if you are in the food distribution business, those are time sensitive because they need to be refrigerated or used. And so, to match the qualities that your client has with the qualities of your product or service.
One of the things that I'd like to say is I'd like to lay this on anyone out there who is selling, and that it is your obligation to do a good job of qualifying the prospect. And here's why it is your obligation. Number one, you can't sell them you can't convince them that they need what you have to sell. Nobody's going to buy something that they don't need, and you can't find out if they need that. Only in rare situations where the customer blurts it out, give me what you've got. I mean, how often does that happen?
Yeah.
I mean, even if they feel like doing that, they won't do it. They make you earn your money. But it's an obligation to your company, and it's an obligation to this prospect whose time you're taking, and it's an obligation to you personally because you're taking your time to everyone has this investment in this time to find out if this person can do business with you. And in my opinion, it's your obligation to become a good qualifier. And that is asking the right questions, isn't it, Pat?
Yes.
Making sure that you ask questions, not only the right questions, but to ask the right questions the correct way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask a bunch of what we used to call non-direct questions, direct questions or closed-ended questions. Some people call them closed-ended. I call them direct questions.
Okay.
If you ask the direct ones, you're going to get yeses and nos.
Right.
If you ask the open-ended questions or the non-directed probes, then those involve the five interrogatives: who, what, when, where, how, and why.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that six? I forgot. Anyway. But those words, those interrogatives in the front of every question gets you information, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think that people who are selling something want to decide what's the most important information I need in the beginning so that I don't have to get to the end and either find out they don't have the money, they can't afford the selection prices that we have, or that it's not the right person, that they don't make the decision. You know, if you can decide what it is you really need to have in the way of a prospect to be a client, then those are the questions you want to ask in the beginning.
Right.
Or early on, anyway.
There's this wonderful and strange thing that can happen while you are qualifying a person professionally. When you're doing a professional job of qualifying, which means that you're taking them along what I call a journey of understanding, and you're taking them along this journey of understanding, there's this wonderful and strange thing that happens, Pat. The customer, the prospect, can actually go from being 100% convinced that they need nothing that you have, they're not going to do business with you, to being where they say, when can you deliver that?
Mm-hmm.
That can happen in the qualifying process, can it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
How many times have you seen that happen when you've walked in and the customer, you know, basically you could tell they weren't even listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something that you said when you qualified them. You said something like, well, how are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, well, we're not doing that. And you say, well, why aren't you doing that? And they say, well, we are, you know, and you go on. And so you're qualifying them. You're asking them the right questions about their business, what they need. And without those, without that kind of qualifying, without that kind of probing, then you're actually, you know, you're just wasting your time. And the greatest lead, the greatest prospect in the world won't help you if you can't qualify them. All right, let's move on. When we come back, we're going to talk about presentation. We're also going to get into procrastination, which is something that's a big deal to me. 50 After, I'm Jim Blassing, and the small business advocate, Pat Weber, is our special guest. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Pat Weber, the president of Professional Strategies Incorporated, is our special guest. She's a member of our Brain Trust. She's our good friend, and she's a tremendous small business resource, especially in the area of customer service, customer care, loyalty, salesmanship, all that good stuff, the stuff that you got to have, the things that, especially the salesmanship area, because as we all know, nothing happens, Pat, until someone makes a sale.
That is the expression.
And not too many sales happen until you qualify a prospect. And I said we were going to move on, but you had a couple of other thoughts that you wanted to give us on qualifying.
Yeah, well, it was really just kind of piggybacking on to what you say.
On my soapbox.
What's that?
When I was on my soapbox, you're going to add that.
Rather than knock you off, I thought I would just get up there with you. And maybe just something to help our listeners to remember to qualify. There's that expression that selling ain't telling, asking is.
Mm-hmm.
When you're meeting with a customer, as you said, you don't know, they don't know that they need yet what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get them talking more about what it is that they're experiencing and not having, or either having something else similar to your pest control service or copy machine, but they're not happy with it. When you get them talking about what they're not happy about, then they're more willing and open to talk with you further about what you have, because then they realize, you know, this isn't doing me much good.
Mm-hmm.
But if all you do is go in and start talking about this, that, and the other thing about what you have to offer, then they don't really get a chance to be part of the process that way.
Well, here's the thing. One of the things that I try to point out to people is, everything that's in your head,
mm-hmm.
that's coming out of your mouth,
right?
You already know that.
Yeah, but the customer doesn't.
That's right. But the thing is, though, is you don't. The key to your success is information, and the information you need is in the customer's head.
Right. Exactly.
And if they don't give that information to you, you will not be successful.
Right. So hold on to what's in your head until it's appropriate that it's of interest to the customer.
Right. Make them go first, and I'll tell you
exactly.
And one of the best ways that I tell people to tell whether you were successful in a sales call or not is when you leave, mm-hmm. ask yourself this question. Did the customer do most of the talking, or did I do most of the talking?
Right, because if they did most of the talking, you did a good job on the sales call.
Even if you didn't get the business that time.
Right.
Even if you didn't get the business that time.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with you. We've just got about a minute. Let's talk actually a little bit less than a minute. Quickly, how do you get over procrastination? Procrastination
is instead of planning to do it, you schedule to do it. There's a difference. You actually write down what it is that you have to do on your day timer or in your Palm Pilot or whatever it is. If you just say, I'm going to plan to spend one day a week following up with the clients that I was talking with the previous week. If you're planning it, it doesn't get to be a schedule.
Right.
I mean, that's one of the simplest ways to do it.
Go ahead and put it on your book.
Put it on your calendar.
Just like it were an appointment, as if it were an appointment with a prospect.
Exactly.
Or a client or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. What else? Any other thoughts on procrastination?
No, but I'm sure you have one.
No, I don't. This is one of my big boogaboos.
Well, then I'm going to have to research that one.
We'll have to do
find out
research.
What other people are doing.
Pat, we got to wrap it up for this hour. Thank
you
very much. We got more stuff on this list that we're going to talk about when you come back with us again.
Okay. I've enjoyed it.
See you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Pat Weber, folks. great fan. We couldn't do without her. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.